So if all you had was a guide, to guide you in what you thought about God without any of the New Testament, because Jesus would not have come, how would you think about God the Father differently? If all you had was the Old Testament, how would you think about God? And would it be quite different than the way you think about God because he sent Jesus to earth? Now, God obviously has not changed. He doesn't change. He isn't going to change. He doesn't change like the shifting shadows. James tells us that. But our understanding and our awareness of God and his unchanging characteristics, his immutable characteristics, have changed a great deal because Jesus came. In other words, you and I think of God the Father differently because we have come to know Jesus. Now, we of course know from the Old Testament, and we would know this if that is all we had, that God is the creator of everything that has ever been created. We know that God is creative because of Genesis chapters 1 and 2. We know that God calls people to follow him. All the way throughout the Old Testament, God called people to follow him. He called Abraham. He called Moses. He called the whole nation of Israel to be his people and to follow him. He called the judges. He called the prophets. So we know that God is a God who calls people. We know he's also a lawgiver. He gave us the Ten Commandments, sent them down the mountain with Moses. He sent all kinds of regulations regarding worship and what to eat and what not to eat and all kinds of regulations for the tabernacle and temple and all of that, and regulations that were intended to help us and not to harm us, but to bless us. We also know that God is a judge from the Old Testament, who holds people and nations accountable for their actions and disciplines them accordingly. Even his own people, he was willing to send into captivity and exile because of their sin. But we also know from the Old Testament that he is a redeemer and a restorer, and who brings back Israel back from their captivity to their own land. And yet your view and my view of God would be skewed somewhat if God had not sent Jesus. Think how differently the Sadducees and Pharisees thought of God the Father than Jesus did. It caused a lot of problems between them. Jesus saw God the Father completely different than the Sadducees and Pharisees saw God. And quite frankly, you and I probably would be a lot more prone to think like the Pharisees about God the Father if Jesus had never come. But he came with grace and truth, full of grace and truth, John 1 says. And Jesus was the only one, is the only one, who has seen God face to face on planet Earth. And Jesus is the one who has made him known to us. John chapter 1, starting in verse 14, says, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in closest relationship with the Father, has made him known." So no one has ever seen God. The only way the person that is in closest relationship, his Son, came to earth to make him known. There's no one better that we could learn what God is like than by knowing Jesus and following after him. Moreover, Jesus dwelled among us, lived here, ministering for 3 years among us, and doing what? Representing who God is, what he is like, his characteristics, and he did that perfectly. You know, if I try to represent someone else, I never know them fully. I can't do it very well. But Jesus knew God perfectly, and he represented him perfectly here on earth. Hebrews chapter 1 starts out with this. It says, in the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, through whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom he also made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. And after he had provided purification for our sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. Now, there's an awful lot there. First of all, it tells us that Jesus speaks to us directly through his own life, and that he radiates the glory of God. If you come to know Jesus, you are coming to know God the Father. He is the exact representation of who God is. What you know about Jesus is what you should know about the Father. They are one in the same nature. If you have seen Jesus, you have seen God. What you know about Jesus is what you know about the Father. Now, without Jesus coming, we would always be looking for a mediator, someone that would come and be between God and us. We would look for a priest. We would look for sacrifices. We would look for prophets to come and go before God for us. That's what they did in the Old Testament. But because Jesus came, we can go directly and have access directly to God, and have direct access to a God that cares about us, that we know cares about us. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15 says this, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weakness." All of us have weaknesses. All of us have things that, man, we would be kind of ashamed to, you know, we'd want to hide them from God. And he says, we do not have the kind of high priest who is unable to understand our weaknesses. But we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, and yet he never sinned. And then he says, because of that, let us then approach God's throne of grace. And it's interesting, we don't necessarily think of God's throne being a throne of grace, do we? We connect grace with Jesus. But Hebrews says, God's throne of grace. Let us approach God's throne of grace to help us in our time of need. And so Jesus there is helping us to understand that the grace that he brings to us is the kind of God that we have, the Heavenly Father that we have, a God of grace. So he's tempted. Jesus says he's tempted in every way as we are, and yet he did not sin. And that tells us about God the Father that he is indeed perfectly holy, because Jesus was tempted. You and I get tempted, and sometimes we fail the test, and sometimes we don't. Jesus was tempted in all ways that you and I have been tempted in. And he never once sinned. And that tells us just how holy God is. Our Heavenly Father is a holy Father who is high and lifted up, and yet he sits on a throne of grace. Wow. Grace, Jesus came full of grace and truth, and he represents a God in heaven who sits on a throne, who is holy. Never lose sight of that. He is high and lifted up and holy, and he administrates from a throne of grace. That's just amazing to think about. Jesus has shown us a God who exercises grace, the undeserving kindness of God towards men and women and boys and girls who sin. And at the very root of that grace is God's amazing love. We see that most clearly in Jesus. If Jesus hadn't come, if we didn't have the New Testament, you and I would lose sight. We would not understand how much God loves us. That would be lost on us. We see that because the fact that God sent Jesus. John chapter 3, verse 16, the verse we all know so well, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That whole verse we wouldn't even know if Jesus hadn't come. For God so loved the world that he gave. And God did that, knowing that we would put him on a cross, crucify him. That is real love. Romans chapter 5, verse 8 says, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So without Jesus coming, we also might really doubt that there is a God who wants to be more than just an aloof God out there somewhere. We might doubt that there is a God who really genuinely cares about each one of us. But Jesus says, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not your life more important than food, and your body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? You see, Jesus modeled the Father's care while he was here on earth. But you just watch Jesus going around day after day, and he just cares about people. He cares for them by healing the sick and by comforting and welcoming and accepting outcasts, by reaching out to sinners and having compassion on the crowds as though they were sheep without a shepherd. Jesus represented the Father as he was doing that. He was showing a God who cares about each one of us. Remember Jesus in Matthew chapter 11, 28 through 30, the start of that is, come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And Jesus reminds us that that is the way the Father has always been. Because Jesus is there really living out what the prophet Isaiah said about God the Father. Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. Come, all of you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk, and without money and without cost. Why spend your money on what is not bread and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen to me and eat what is good, and you will delight in the richest affair. That same invitation to come to him, to have our needs met, that Jesus offered is he's representing the Father there. God wants us to come to him as our Heavenly Father. And that brings me to my next point and last big point. And that God, that is that God sent Jesus so that you and I would know that God wants to be like a father to us. Now, as a young boy, that has always meant a lot to me when I was a young boy. Long time ago. And, you know, my father was killed in a farm accident when I was 5. And growing up for the next 7 years without any real male influence in my life, except for a great neighbor, Christian man neighbor, seeing God as my father was a really important thing. But that's something that all of us, God wants all of us to identify God as a father. Now, when you go back and you understand the way that Jews treated God and looked at God, they saw him as so holy that when they translated the scriptures, they refused to even write out his name. They would leave out all the vowels because they said God's name is too holy to even put all the vowels in there. They wouldn't use his name, and they wouldn't that kind of thing. And yet Jesus comes to us and he says, call him Father. Father. 1 John chapter 3 verse 1 says, see what great love the Father has lavished onto us that we should be called the children of God. Now, we've been called the sheep of his pasture and all of that in the Old Testament. The people of Israel had been adopted by God. But Jesus invites us to get into that close relationship with God as though he really is our Heavenly Father and he cares about us like that. Romans chapter 8 says, the Spirit you receive does not make you slaves of God. If you just think Christianity is about becoming a slave of God, you're misled. So that you live in fear again, but rather the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship as a child of God, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. God wants to be our Heavenly Father, and you and I would not know that if God had not sent Jesus here to us at Christmas time. Galatians chapter 4 verse 6 says, because you are his sons, God sent his Spirit, the Spirit of his Son, into our hearts. And the Spirit cries out, calls out, Abba, Father. Do you know the Heavenly Father as a father? That he cares for you? There's just a lot of things that if God hadn't sent Jesus, we might see God completely different. Jesus was sent to reveal the Father to us. G.I. Packer, the great theologian, said, if you want to judge how well a person understands Christianity, find out how much they think about being a child of God and having God as his Father. Everything that Christ taught is summed up in the knowledge of the fatherhood of God. Father, J.I. Packer wrote, is the Christian name for God. Father is the Christian name for God. So in conclusion this morning, I just want to say to you that one of the reasons that God sent Jesus to us was to fulfill all of the law and the prophets, to fulfill all of the Old Testament. But secondly, he sent Jesus at Christmas time so that you and I could know the Heavenly Father and know Him more fully and understand that the Father is just like Jesus. Let us pray.